what does it mean that God works all things together for good? I think it is possible, on the one hand, to take a great deal of comfort in this. Because I know that even if I make a mistake, even if I do things wrong, even if I backslide, God will somehow take these things, put them together, and work them for my good. For good. And that is, of course, correct, and we should take comfort in that. On the other hand, it's something that we take too much comfort in. On the other hand, it's something to not be too comfortable in. Because that means that God works all things together for good, but not necessarily for best. It would have been far better, for example, if David had not alienated Absalom. God still worked it for good, but it could have been better. It would have been far better if Abraham believed from the get-go. It would have been far better if Israel believed the promises of God and had not, in doubt, lost a generation. He still worked it for good. It wasn't the best. You see, we can't forget that we have a volitional component in the will of God, and God does have a perfect will. God's perfect will brings the best. God's restorative will brings the good. As believers, I think sometimes it's very possible for us to take too much comfort in that verse and lose. Now, ultimately, we cannot lose with God from the standpoint of we have our salvation. He will restore us. Things like this. I know a young man. He was living with a woman. He knew it wasn't right, but he did it anyway because that's what he wanted. And then it turns out she has an STD. Now, that's not good. It woke him up. Now he's afraid. That's not... It's good that he got out of it. It's not the best. The best would have been if he had done things God's way. That's not the best. Yes, God will work it together for good. He's destroyed a portion of his capacity. His biochemistry has gotten screwed up. He has now damaged goods. That's not good. And God will restore him, but now this is in his history. And albeit, yes, the work is finished, albeit he is a new creation the moment he confesses his sin and repents, if he is in fact saved. But nevertheless, damage has been done. And although the finished work is present, although the finished work is reality, to enter with full soul and heart and mind into the finished work is not that easy. He has become damaged goods. Can God restore him? Absolutely, in a heartbeat. But it would have been better if he had done it God's way. Now his wife, whoever she ultimately happens to be, his capacity for her will not be the same. He has gotten his biochemistry to say, this is your wife that he has broken up with, that he was never married to. And so there's an area of his life that he'll never be able to entirely share with her because he has damaged his being. people do this all the time in all kinds of different ways. They say, I want. God allows it in His permissive will. And ultimately He will somehow correct them. And it'll work together for good, but it won't work together for best. We have to be extremely careful not to take too much comfort to the point where we get careless. That young man will never be the same. It's a shame. It's a shame. He knew better. But he wanted something. Now, I'm not saying that to desire something in your heart is wrong. If my heart desires God, then God will put desires into my heart. And He'll fulfill them. But if I'm wanting, I'll start pursuing. And that's where I lose best. And then I simply receive good. God does work all things together for good. But He could have worked all things together for best if I had chosen His perfect will. As I can honestly say before God, for every person that is in this room, there is one thing only that I desire. And that's His perfect will in all the details of your lives. I don't care what the detail is. My desire for you guys as your pastor is the perfect will of God. And nothing more and nothing less. Because that's the only place where you will find best. It would have been much better for the Canaanites to not have left God, for the Philistines not to become basically heathens, for some of those countries not to become pagans. It would have been much better. But God still worked it together for good. But best was lost. When the fall took place, there was a loss. And though redemption is glorious, there's still a loss. How many people go to hell? It didn't turn out for the best. It turned out for the good. Because the Savior came, paid the price, redeemed us. But now there are those who reject Him. That wouldn't have happened before the fall. So that worked out for good. It didn't work out for best. We have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. Learn to love the perfect will of God more than you love anything else or anyone else. And then you can have a healthy receiving of other blessings. But if what you want is the blessing without the will, then the blessing will turn into a curse and the best will have been lost. On the other hand, if you desire God with all your heart, then He will give you all things because you're going to seek first His kingdom. And then, like we were saying earlier today, a decision will be in front of you, this way or that way. And you say, God, Thy will not mine be done in your heart. And you say, God, show me. Cause me to make the right decision. And then when my heart is pure before God, the decision is right. if my heart is not pure before God, He won't hear me. Does that mean that I have a heart that is not weak? Not necessarily. But we all know what it is that we want, really. Right? Like somebody might have a job that pays $50,000 a year more, but requires compromise. And so they say, God, should I take this job or not? Well, the answer to that is easy, but they get into this point of wanting, and wanting clouds hearing. Wanting clouds thinking. Wanting removes conviction. If the person had conviction, he wouldn't even need to ask God. If something's going to damage my call or remove me from my call, then I don't want it. On the other hand, if my desire is for God, then He may add things to me that add to my call. I'll never forget, I mean, I use this as an example a lot because I think it's very clear and I lived it. And it's a true example. I can tell you about this. Is I honestly had no intention after I graduated Bible college of going back to school. That was the last thing on my mind, was going back. I was done and I was glad to be done. And though I loved Bible college, I had already 3 college degrees. I didn't feel like I needed more. And the heart, though, said, God, whatever you want. And God said, go back to school. It's not what I would have picked. I would have picked maybe being a pastor because that's where my training was. Or a missionary or something like that. But God said, no, go back to school. That was the net result of what God said. There was specific leading. And so I went. And He protected my capacity in it. It wasn't religious at all. And in some ways, that made it all that much harder because it wasn't religious at all. There was no sight. Sometimes we believers desire religious so that we can have a little bit of sight and appease our doubt. But that's not how it works with God. God says, my son, give me your heart. He didn't say, my son, give me your left ventricle. He said, give me your heart. So if I give Him less than my full heart, I've robbed Him. It's not a good thing to rob God. On the other hand, I give Him my full heart and all of a sudden things start happening. I greatly enjoy. You know when things really started happening for me when I was studying science? Is when I stopped desiring the goal. I was simply content where I was. And then things really started happening. I'll never forget the day I was walking up the hill to Smith Hall. I thought, you know, I'm pretty happy here. It's been a while at that point. It was like 8 years at that point. So I'm pretty happy here. I don't expect I'll be here that much longer, but I'm pretty happy here. And you know what? That's when things started happening. I thought I was going to be a doctor. And the lack of the accomplishment was frustrating. Because I got all the good interviews. And then you get into the university and you can't go there. It wasn't easy and it was painful at times because the disappointment was profound because I thought I had disappointed God and God had disappointed me. But it's only because I didn't know the end from the beginning. I knew a general call, but I didn't know the path that would take me there. You may find yourself in a place sometimes where you feel disappointed by God. It doesn't mean that you've left His will. It means that you don't have understanding. Learn to love His will. Because it even said, like, medical schools sent me letters that said, come here. We want you here. But that would have meant leaving the ministry. You know, leaving the place of the call. Now, I'm not saying that a person can't, like, go on vacation to wherever, Arizona. Right? I'm not saying, or take a short season. That's not the same as leaving a call. But in my case, 5 years. So that would have been about 5 years. Well, if you put in a residency and stuff, it would have been about at least 8 years. 7 or 8 years. That's leaving a call. Learn to love God's will. And don't love anything more. Because if you do, you will lose best. Best comes only in one way. I don't want all things to work together for good. I really don't. Because that means that I've already sacrificed something. But on the other hand, I can take comfort. Because if I totally blow it, God will still make something out of it. There'll still be value in my life. I still have opportunity for rewards. But it won't be what it could have been. But it will be better than what it should have been had I not been able to turn to God. Don't lose best. People do it all the time. Young people with their insatiable craving for relationships do it all the time. They lose best. And even if they correct their path, they've corrupted their thinking. And even if they restore their thinking, they've lost opportunities. Don't lose best. I mean, there's a reason why Jesus said narrow is the gate. Straight is the path and narrow is the gate. And there was a gate in a gate. That's what it was. It was a gate in a gate. And you could take the larger gate or you could take the smaller gate. God wants you to take the smaller gate. Because that's where you find exactly what God has. Think about it. You're driving somewhere perhaps. And you can find directions. Maybe you have a GPS and it put you right at the building or it could put you right in the town. Which is better? Too many Christians settle with the town and they don't go right for the building. And then they end up sometimes, in some cases, as though they were lost. Even though they're in the right place, they still haven't found it. Don't give up best. Don't give up best. That's why it grieves me when I see Christians who love God doing things like going out and dating and stuff. I say, don't you realize what you have done? You have reinforced self-desires and taken away the purity of thought in a holy relationship. that could have been best. It'll still be good, but it could have been better. There's a way to do things. And you know what they'll say? I have liberty. Well, you won't go to hell. But what is your liberty all about anyway? When there are two laws, there is the law of liberty, but then there is also the law of love. And if I fall in love with my Savior, then I'm pursuing the law of love. And the law of liberty is only a law of no condemnation. Because nothing else is an option when I'm in love with my Savior. Don't sacrifice best for want. There's such a promise. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things are added unto you. Delight yourself in the Lord and He gives you the desires of your heart. What an amazing promise. But people don't believe it. But if my heart desires Him in purity and in truth, and if you are willing to look at your heart in objectivity and not in subjectivity, in other words, leave your emotions out of it. If you are simply willing to purely look at your heart, then you will know if what you desire is from God or not. If you are actually brave enough to be honest with yourself. But the only way for me to be brave enough to be that honest is to be well rooted in grace. But too many people in general, and nowadays, young people almost wholesale, with few exceptions, will sacrifice best and settle for good. There's a precise call and a precise will and a precise response. And if I have a precise call and I do, and God has a precise will and He does, my response needs to be precise. I didn't say my response has to be religious. I said it has to be precise. And the only way I'll have a precise response is if I'm not wanting. You'd be surprised at things that God will bring into your life in those kinds of circumstances. What do people want? Sometimes they want a thing, or sometimes they want something else. Sometimes they want a perception, and in some cases the perception is even wrong. They perceive something, but they don't perceive correctly. Sometimes young people frequently want approval from their parents. But they don't perceive what their parents will approve. If the parents are godly, that can happen. It's interesting what people want. Love the will of God. And if that's what you want, you'll make sure you have it. Ask God for His perfect will and He'll give it to you. It's really simple. And you won't even have to figure out how to get it. He just gives it. And don't worry about the other things. God will take care of those. Look for His perfect will only. And if you don't know what it is, then have a heart that honestly says, God, thy will, not mine, be done. Order my steps. And he does. It's really pretty simple. Sometimes we overthink it, but it's really pretty simple.